Welcome to the Quickening Report. Patrick Wood here, your host for today. We're going to talk about some various current events going on right now that we need to do that every once in a while just to show how the news kind of fits in with what we're doing. Sometimes it's appropriate to do an analytical session, but today I want to look at a couple of things that just kind of jump out of the headlines, and they're interesting little tidbits to fill in on how technocracy and transhumanism manifest itself in the world. This still is the most underrated, understood, misunderstood, underestimated force in the world today, that is technocracy and transhumanism. They're just popping up everywhere and all around the world, not just in the United States, but in China and Canada and Europe and Africa and South America, everywhere, Russia as well. So the first thing is just kind of incidental. The first thing I want to talk about is artificial intelligence and the function of religion. This is very interesting. It's not the first time a story like this has come up, but it's really worth noting. The headline of the story is AI will be worshipped as God. I added, but don't expect mercy. You're not going to get mercy from an AI God for sure. But here's the thing. You know, AI is affecting every part of society. You know that already. It's journalism. Preachers are already using AI to, like ChatGPT, to write sermons for them and to write Bible studies for them. This ain't the way to go, folks, but this is what's happening. You can't stop it by itself. And so AI is touching industry, it's touching social systems, it's touching people's minds directly. It's just all over the place, and it's here to stay, I'm afraid. You know, programs like ChatGPT are just being embraced everywhere in the world. There are now hundreds of millions of people in the world that are taking advantage of this new form of AI, like ChatGPT. And who's taking advantage of who? I say they're taking advantage of it, but maybe it's taking advantage of them. We'll see about that. Somebody's being taken advantage of here. But here's the thing. You know, it's just a matter of time before AI moves into religion. You know it's coming. There's no reason to exclude it. You know, people that are into that stuff, into AI in the first place, if they, you know, look around the landscape and say, hey, what can we do? Well, you know, AI just fits perfectly with what they might be thinking about religion. So there's a movement right now around the world to elevate AI to godhood, literally, and to take the function of pastors and priests, like in the Catholic Church or Eastern Orthodox Church, to be advisors to people, to be a confidant, to be an entity to which they confess their sins. You see, this is, history has shown us that people will worship anything. They'll worship stones, carved images, gold images, you know, the sun. People have worshipped so many different things, the sun, the moon. And now AI has come on the scene. It actually has some intelligence. You know, a gold statue is just dumb and mute, right? It can't say a word. It has no wisdom whatsoever. But now AI is like a new thing. And it actually hasn't, they think, intelligence. And at least can convince people that there's intelligence there. So I wrote here, as worshipers confess their most personal sins to the AI God, it will populate their psychological profile forever for all people to see. This then becomes the mechanism to control and manipulate them to their own harm, as was often the case in historical religious systems, and we know that to be true. You see it in history, but also in the Bible as well. Unfortunately, man has the innate urge to worship, and any old image will suffice. And this is the latest image of choice, because it speaks back. It talks back. You talk to it, it talks to you. So this article has some very interesting stuff in it, just commentary. It says, you know, as AI becomes more prominent in our day to save lives, it wasn't going to be long before the worlds of religion and tech merged. Truly, The thought of robot gods and ChatGPT sermons terrifies some people, and rightly so, according to experts. It should. This one expert says that it will be like having your own personal guru you can take with you anywhere. Just load them up in your cell phone. You're in business. You can confide in it, get advice from it, learn to trust it to help you figure out complicated moral and spiritual situation. What's not to like, right? That's what, you know, a lot of people are going to think. So there's going to be an emerging set of religions, probably not necessarily just one, but there will be emerging religious systems that principally use AI as the core of its theology. Whatever you want the sermon to be written on, maybe you're a Buddhist and you want a sermon on Buddhism. Maybe you're a Hindu and you want a sermon on Hindu. Maybe you're a Catholic and you want a sermon on, you know, on Catholicism. It doesn't matter what religion you pick. AI can cut it, and it knows everything about those religions. Read all the internet, knows everything. So we can expect to see this emerge, and this is just a warning to everybody, I think. Don't fall for this. Don't fall for it. Stay away from it in that regards. There is no spiritual value whatsoever in artificial intelligence. And whatever it will trick mankind into doing, and it will not end up well for them who follow after it. It can't, because it's not human, and it certainly isn't from God. People are already claiming, by the way, that artificial intelligence is a gift from God to help mankind with knowledge. Don't buy that one either. I don't believe that's true at all. This is something man has done, and okay, so man has done a very big thing with artificial intelligence, and he's fooled and tricked the whole world with it at this point. And it's true, there is a lot of knowledge there. You can, you know, it's the glorified search engine of the ages. You can find lots of stuff through ChatGPT and others, but don't trust them for your religious needs, for sure. Don't have it write sermons for you. Don't have it write Bible studies for you. Don't confide in it. Well, I have a problem with my marriage, blah, 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 or, you know, this is the way it is. There's this and there's that. And she doesn't, she doesn't love me. He doesn't love me, you know, all that sort of stuff. Don't go there. Don't tell artificial intelligence anything about you. It already knows everything probably anyway, but don't tell it anymore. You just don't need it. And it will record and remember everything you said and make rationalizations and, you know, opinions, and it'll put it in your record forever. Don't do that. Don't talk to it like it's your best friend, for sure. That's one interesting story. A second interesting story has to do with poor old Bovine here. I don't know what Bovine's name is, but I'm sure he doesn't have a name. He has a tag at his ear with a number on it. Actually, two tags. And Bill Gates is at it again. Okay, we know he's the biggest farm owner and landowner in America right now, with something like 236,000 acres. And he's invested in a new company. You'll be really thrilled to hear this. He's invested in a company, $4.7 million in data collecting faceware for livestock. And here's poor old Bovine here. We'll call him Bo for short. Old Bo is strapped up with this thing that's coming down over his nose, and every breath he takes, it's collecting data on him. How much methane is he belching? You know, how much CO2 is he putting out or whatever? And you can see the little transmitter pack on his neck that's going to be like Wi-Fi enabled or 5G enabled to transmit the data on this poor thing back to some central computer where it's being collected. And of course, the United Nations now is blaming the red meat industry especially for global warming. They say, falsely so in my opinion, not defensible whatsoever, that agriculture is responsible for 30% of all global emissions that are burning the world up. That's just absolute nonsense, but that's what they say. So projects like this look mighty attractive to people like Bill Gates. We need to monitor those cattle out there because, gee, they eat stuff and they burp and they belch and they have flatulence and put methane into the sky, and oh my gosh, they're terrible. We need to monitor them. So now they're monitoring him. Good grief. This company's name, Zelp, Z-E-L-P. I'll make the screen bigger for you. Z-E-L-P, Z as in zebra, E-L-P, right here, Zelp, stands for Zero Emissions Livestock Project. Just a side note, I grew up in the ranching industry. If you want to have zero emissions livestock, you know what you do? You go out and you shoot them all and you just kill them. That takes care of the emissions. That's the only way to take care of the emissions. But anyway, these guys are chasing after some dream here that that they're going to have zero emissions somehow in the livestock industry. So it claims its artificial intelligence mask technology for livestock will reduce methane emissions, considered to be a main greenhouse gas, and curb climate change. Well, wouldn't you know that artificial intelligence is going to somehow come in the picture? Doesn't it always come in the picture today? Well, you can use it to as your religion to worship an AI mythical god, or you can use it to cut down emissions in cattle. Oh, that's a pretty good deal, huh? So this guy goes on to say down there, this is what you would get when you combine greed with stupidity. I love the cynicism here. Absolutely true. This is what happens when you combine greed and stupidity together. Poor old Bo is going to have that mask on as long. And you know, the Wi-Fi signal coming out of that thing on his neck, pretty close to his brain too. I can't imagine he's going to really like to have all that radiation, that EMF radiation around his head. And the guy goes on to say, history will show that the vast majority of so-called environmentally beneficial projects like this are going to make Bernie Madoff look like an altar boy. We can all say, well, at least I can say amen to that. This is absolutely insane. But anyway, Bill Gates is at it again. And, you know, now you're going to have poor old Bo is going to have to wear a face mask on his head. And he's going to have to wear a gas collector on his rump. And whatever's in between, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how Bo survives this, much less the whole herd. But, of course, if somebody has a feedlot with, say, 100,000 cattle in it, this company called Zelp, Zero Emissions Livestock Project, they're going to get rich if they have to outfit every one of those animals with something like this. So anyway, we'll skip off that. Interesting story. Now, let's go over to another serious story now. Not that those weren't serious, but this is really interesting too. Here we have the Premier of China in Russia shaking hands with the Premier, the President of Russia. And we have, oddly enough, two technocrats shaking hands, joining forces, where Xi Jinping says he's quietly rising to power, and he declares that China is ready to, quote, this is his words, stand guard over world order. He said that during his visit to Russia. Was the Ukraine war some type of a false flag operation to bring China and Russia together? With Biden's deep connections to China, it should not be ruled out. China's goal is to convert the entire world into technocracy, and yes, it is. They've said that. They're exporting their technocracy everywhere they can. Now, we know that that China has been friendly with Russia for some time, but it's deepened now, tremendously deepened with the war in Ukraine. So we have a proxy war being fought between the United States and Russia, and Ukraine as the proxy. We now seemingly have a proxy war between the United States and China, because China is now, at least mentally, they are in bed with Russia. So now, as they arm Russia with guns and tanks or whatever they might send, now we have another entry, another proxy player in China. this doesn't seem to be the direction America really wants to go, but it is. And I will suggest that something really fishy is going on with this. And I'll tell you why. We know that President Joe Biden and all of the Trilateral Commission operatives here in the United States and around the world too, that they are all pushing for technocracy throughout the world. We know that China is already a technocracy. We know that Ukraine is moving towards technocracy at breakneck speed. And we know that Russia as well has been toying with technocracy for years. So here you have this interesting scenario where all these players, you look at them, you say, wait a minute, how can I tell the difference as far as technocracy is concerned? How can I tell the difference between these different players? The answer is you can't, at least I can't. And I'm thinking something is very fishy here. But he's recently made this point that he's expected to position himself as a potential peacemaker in the Ukraine war during his two-day visit to Russia. It goes on down here that it says Z added that with Russia, China was ready to quote, ready to resolutely defend the UN-centric international system, stand guard over the world based on international law. Oh, really? China is going to defend the UN-centric international system. Well, gee, already you have the World Economic Forum 100% in the United Nations orbit. You have all of the Trilateral Commission who actually created the United Nations orbit in the first place. And you have Ukraine sitting in the middle, which is racing towards technocracy themselves. They're all the same. They're basically all the same players. They're all pulling for the same goal. So leaving this behind just for a minute, I want to throw up another story that just came in, and that is Zelensky the technocrat. The war in Ukraine obscures the rush to technocracy. This is rather revealing. This is a great article written by Marie Hawthorne. I've never met Marie, but she wrote this article for the Organic Prepper, and it is an excellent article. I've had a couple of people read this, experts in the field, and basically confirm this, that she's spot on. So the deal here is, before the war, this is my comments at the top of the article, before the war, Zelensky's first initiative after his election, that was 2019, was to create a Ministry of Digital Transformation. That, you heard that right. His first initiative, create a digital transformation, a Ministry of Digital Transformation, a whole department, government department, headed by a technocrat and World Economic Forum young leader graduate, Mikhailo Fedorov, with a digital ID at the core. The program was called Government in a Smartphone. It solidifies technocrat control. Worse, the U.S. taxpayer is funding a large portion of the transformation, and yes, we put money into it nilly-willy, unfortunately. I recommend that you read this article in full and listen to the video and really kind of get an idea what's going on here. I'm going to play you a clip out of this video, but this is really interesting because the war indeed has masked what has happened, what has been happening from the start with Zelensky, in that he has rushed headlong into technocracy. And all the things, you know, that were relative to, that are relative to technocracy. So I want to throw in just a couple of minutes of a video that his minister, that is the person who runs that department for him. And by the way, they're willing to share this information, of course, with everybody else in the world who wants to take it. He's acting just like China, exporting technocracy to other countries as well. So here's a video showing Fedorov talking at this conference about digital transformation. This was posted, I believe, by Redacted News, which is a popular video blog right now. Got a very large following. But I want you just to listen to a minute or two of this, and then we'll come back.
January 19th, USA. A director, Samantha Power, appeared at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, to promote a digital identification smartphone app called Dia.
And one of the most incredible things that Ukraine has developed over the last few years is an app called Dia that now delivers 120 services to the people of Ukraine.
Standing next to Power was Mykhailo Fedorov, Ukraine's Minister of Digital Transformation and Vice Prime Minister. Fedorov is a graduate of NATO's educational program in Ukraine and the World Economic Forum's Young Leader Program. He's the key figure implementing what is known as Ukraine's Digital Transformation, a program to transform the country into an electronic state controlled by Silicon Valley big tech corporations and U.S. military intelligence.
Thank you to the USAID team because we got support for DIA and we are ready to share our expertise with other countries because digitalization is foundation of transparency and of democracy.
The DIA app is a central plank in this process. It digitizes and centralizes documents, records, and government and business transactions all into a digital identity. This offers an unprecedented system of surveillance and control. According to the World Economic Forum, digital identity determines what products, services, and information we can access or can.
Okay, you get the idea. This is extraordinary that all the while the war has been going on, Zelensky and his team have been creating this technocratic system in Ukraine with the intention of exporting it to other countries. And they're very blunt about this. They want to sell it to other nations. They're behaving just like China. And it's interesting that Zelensky, now that Chairman Xi has visited China or visited Russia, he's now invited Xi to come to Ukraine to talk peace. Well, okay, negotiate a peace treaty. This is all birds of a feather, as far as I can see here. Zelensky's doing the world no favor. Regardless of what you think about Russia or anything else at this point, just from a technocracy point of view, all of these people are promoting the same ideology to get to technocracy. There's something very fishy here with this. I'm not quite sure I can put my finger on the whole thing yet, but it seems like there's a lot of theater here. And there's a lot of stuff I think is going to come out that we don't see right now in the future. And Russia is at the core of it. You know, Russia is still in a very conservative position compared to the rest of the world. Their debt load as a nation is extremely low. They haven't borrowed much money, and of course they don't need to really because they got so many resources, natural resources. They're the largest wheat exporter in the world. They're one of the largest natural gas producers in the world. So they have a lot of reserves that they've accumulated over time. They don't need to accumulate debt like we have in America here. But this is going to come out, I think, eventually, that all of these people are promoting technocracy. Maybe somehow Russia is on the outskirts of that, but if China has anything to do with it, China's getting closer and closer to Putin. China will bring technocracy all the way to Russia if he can, if it's not already there. In the meantime, all these players seem to be on the same team, even though they're telling us that they're fighting each other. Just an observation. Now, there's one last story that I want to introduce you to, and there's going to be more to talk about this too. This has to do with the United Nations. You know, during the pandemic, that the World Health Organization came out, basically try to take control of the entire planet. In other words, at least health policies everywhere. They wanted to be the driving force to tell the world how to deal with COVID-19. And then they wanted to tell the world the remedy for that in the end was all of these messenger RNA-based injections that were unapproved by our FDA in our country, and many other countries had no approval either. Well, many other countries don't have the FDA like we do, but they did not approve it in America. So we saw the United Nations act like global dictators, if you will, as far as health policy is concerned. And they conned most of the world into doing what they told them to do. They did. But now the United Nations is not satisfied with just health as an issue, global health. They want to extend their authority now to manage any extreme global shock, any extreme global shock. I wrote on this one, the United Nations is a self-proclaimed overseer and caretaker of all humanity. Not content with managing health matters like contrived pandemics, the UN now wants to manage any and every extreme global shock. Sustainable development, aka technocracy, is a resource management system, and humans are considered to be resources. This is the problem. When they say resources, you are in that picture. You're not anything special over any other resource in the world, they think. And so they want to deal with any and every type of global emergency. And of course, they can declare what is a global emergency anyway, as much as they want. But this new platform that they are creating here is intended to fulfill the following. Here's some bullet points. A rapid, predictable, and structural international response, of course, maximizing the unique and converting role of the United Nations, of course, maximize themselves, catalyzing political leadership through networks of willing member states, and you will be willing, multi-sectoral, interdisciplinary coordination across the multilateral system, multi-stakeholder engagement and accountability in the global response, strengthening accountability for delivering against commitments and bringing coherence to the international approach. In the event of a complex shock, all parts of the multilateral system will be held accountable for implementation and act in unison. The platform will, quote, share timely, accurate data, analysis, and policy recommendations to support global advocacy and build an international political consensus on the way forward. So basically, the United Nations wants to take over the world. They're doing it, of course, on behalf of the Trilateral Commission and its members. That's another story. But it's unmistakable. They're spreading their wings now. And it's no wonder that the Trilateral Commission just last week said that 2023 is year number one in the new global order. Well, this is going to be an interesting year. That's all I can say. 2023. Well, I'm Patrick Wood for the Quickening Report. Just a few little things to put in your mind, to keep in mind here. Some riddles as well, perhaps, like what is a false flag event? And we'll discuss it more in coming episodes. There's a lot to say here, lots to unpack. I'm Patrick Wood for the Quickening Report. Thanks for listening. God bless.